This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in, Maggie and Perloff show from Radio Row in New Orleans. Super Bowl, it is almost here. Maggie's out today, living a little too hard here in New Orleans. No, unfortunately, she got sick probably from being at an unlicensed gator farm earlier in the week or eating 100 crawfish. I don't even know. There's 1,000 ways she could have gotten sick. But obviously, maybe celebrating Josh Allen's MVP a little too much. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, we're here at Radio Row. Early in the week, we had Peter King tell us that he didn't think Eli Manning would get into the Hall of Fame. And then yesterday, I don't know if it was actually done, but there was a lot of buzz that Eli didn't make it earlier in the day before they announced it. So they announced it at Honors, and it turns out Eli Manning did not make the Hall of Fame on his first ballot. He, to me, is one of the most polarizing Hall of Fame candidates ever for a couple reasons. He won 2 Super Bowls, but the rest of his career was medium. And people think that maybe there's a New York bias, that if he was a quarterback somewhere else, he wouldn't even be considered.
Yep.
And a last name bias, because he's a Manning.
Right.
And also, his post-career has been incredible. He was here the other day. He is a great personality, so funny on TV. He's a great foil to Peyton. I still think, actually, on football, he should have gotten into the Hall of Fame this time. Eric Allen is a former Philadelphia Eagle, a cornerback, former Jet as well.
Yep.
He was a great player.
Yep.
He did not impact the game of football like Eli Manning. And I'm an Eagles fan, and I have no problem saying that. Jared Allen, the pass rusher from the Vikings and the Chiefs, great player. Did not impact the game of football like Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. Antonio Gates, there's nothing. As long as you don't have a problem with his PED, you can't argue against him. And Sterling Sharp, who was an amazing receiver back with the Packers, career cut a little short. I'm okay with him. I'm okay with all these guys. But Eli is just as much a Hall of Famer as Sterling Sharp, as Eric Allen, as Jared Allen. You know it. And Hall of Fame, it's one of those things. Don't break down the numbers. I mean, Eli is top 10 all-time in passing yards. You know it when you see it. And I'm sorry. I would have voted yes for Eli Manning. EJ?
If Eli got in, I would have been fine. But Eli's not better than any of those players you named. Just being real.
Eli's not better than Eric Allen?
No. Eric Allen's a 6-time Pro Bowler. He was all pro at one season. Second team all pro another season. Eric Allen.
What did he win? What did he win?
He's a DB. He doesn't control Randall Cunningham getting hurt or Buddy Ryan.
He does control third down and 8, Michael Irvin. 90s Cowboys.
Oh, my gosh. So he's the reason why the Dallas Cowboys won Super Bowls. Is Eric Allen's fault? You're doing that now?
No, but you said it perfectly. He's a cornerback. So he can't impact a game like a quarterback. And therefore, quarterbacks should get all the advantages for the Hall of Fame.
No, that is where I put my foot down a little bit. Like, this cannot be the Hall of Fame of quarterbacks. Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, yes, I love the Malik Wright quote, everybody knows the quarterback. I think it's a quote to live by. If you don't know anything about football, you know the quarterback of your city. But this is about celebrating everything that involves football. That includes coaches, that includes front office people, that includes other positions besides quarterback. It shouldn't be, all right, every quarterback that comes up, you go to the front of the line, and guys like Eric Allen, who've been waiting for 10, 15 years, Sterling Sharp waiting 20 years, you go to the back of the line because we got to get a guy with a 500 overall record into the Super Bowl and into the Hall of Fame. Now, Eli, I have no problem him being in the Hall of Fame, but he's going to get there. It's fine. It's okay that he didn't make it in his first year. I personally think that the first ballot thing. I'm against first ballot anything. I would vote for whoever I think is a Hall of Famer. You would always get first ballot.
Wait, you were so mad when Ichiro didn't get in, though. That was a week ago.
Yeah, because I am – because
didn't get in unanimously.
Right, unanimously. Because fundamentally, it's stupid to look at a ballot when they ask you who's a Hall of Famer and not write Ichiro. So, yes, I think if you saw a ballot and you didn't put Eli Manning, you probably should have, in my opinion. But that's not as – obviously, it's not as – it's a little more controversial than that. But my point, though, is these guys have been waiting a long time. Like, at what point, like, are they going to get in? Like, you got to wait another year. Then next year, you're going to be like, all right, well, Phil Rivers, even though he didn't win a Super Bowl, I mean, he was a great quarterback. All right, you go in ahead of these other defensive players who didn't win championships. Like, where does the line begin?
By the way, Eli fell out of the top 10. I apologize. Guess who just passed him?
I'm looking at your list.
Matthew Stafford passed Eli Manning on the all-time. So Eli Manning is now 11th, and he's at 57,000 yards. Russell Wilson is the next guy that could catch him at 46,000. Then Joe Flacco. I don't think Flacco's going to do it. Uh-huh. So Eli has the gaudy numbers. Yeah. Jim Plunkett, the other two-time Super Bowl winner quarterback who did not get in, had really pedestrian numbers. Different era. Yeah. He probably deserves it too. But Eli played a lot longer. He had the consecutive streak. You're right. He'll get in. I think I've had two unpopular takes today that Eli should have been first ballot, and that you shouldn't name an NFL MVP until the season is over. But enough of that. Let's talk to a guy who there is no doubt, there is nobody who would ever say this person was not a Hall of Famer, because here, the city we're in New Orleans, he's not just a Hall of Famer, he's kind of a god. Of course, that is Drew Brees, former Saints quarterback. All right, we do this thing, the great debate. Maggie picked the onside kick in the Super Bowl by Sean Payton, the Saints, in our great debate this week as the most stunning Super Bowl moment. Drew, does this week bring back all those memories?
Yeah, it does. In fact, we just celebrated the 15-year anniversary of our Super Bowl victory. So brought back a lot of great memories, you know. And that was a special team. It was a special season. And I think – like whenever the Super Bowl week comes around too, you start thinking about the preparation and just kind of what you were thinking during that week. You know, we were down in Miami for that one, going up against Peyton Manning and the Colts, you know, which seemed like this kind of like indomitable force on the other side, right? That it was like, man, I don't know how we're going to beat these guys. We're going to have to steal a possession. I remember like very early in that week of preparation, Sean said, hey, we're going to kick an onside kick. We're going to nickname it ambush. So we had this, you know, like this term for it. And he's like, it's not a matter of if, it is when. Like, we are going to do it. So in a lot of ways, it just created this level of confidence and this sense of urgency. Like, hey, guys, we are going to pull out all the stops. Man, we're going to leave nothing to chance. We need to steal a possession. But you create the vision for what was going to happen and what we need to do to execute it. And it's amazing just the amount of confidence that gives you.
Yeah, I remember that game coming in, Peyton Manning and everything he was doing. It kind of feels like the Chiefs now. Just something about them, it's impossible to beat. Do you think that the Eagles are going to try and like have that same attitude, like we got to try something? But the Eagles also feel confident in a way too.
You know, I think the Eagles deep down feel like they're a better team.
Really?
And so for them, I don't think they're necessarily thinking we have to take chances to win this game. You know, like an onside kick to steal a possession or what have you. I think for them it's more, as I think about like the process on offense, and I'm staring at this huge banner of Jalen Hurts right now. You know, so it's like, what am I thinking about Jalen Hurts? I know this. If I'm playing a guy like Patrick Mahomes, every opportunity that guy has to have the ball, like that's not a good thing for us, right? So if I'm just playing the probability game, if Patrick Mahomes normally gets 11 possessions in an NFL game, I'm going to try to make him only get 8 possessions. Well, how do I do that? Man, I need to sustain drives. Like, we're going to run the football. And it's a great thing. I got Saquon Barkley right here who's had this phenomenal season. But honestly, like, me as the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, I'm a big component to the run game. Like, I'm a run threat every time we're doing this little RPO stuff, right? And so, man, we're just going to methodically move the ball down the field, stay ahead of the chains, because if we get into third and long, like, we got no chance against the Steve Spagnuolo, you know, exotic pressure team. But, man, we're just going to pound it, go down, score points, and guess what? All of a sudden, we just ran 9 minutes off the clock and prevented the best player in the world from getting on the field to try to beat us on the other side. So, like, that's the game to me that Philly needs to play. Possess the ball, run the ball, get points at the end, right? Keep the best player in the world off the field, and that's going to be their best chance to win this game. If Philly is able to execute this game plan of running the football, first off, it's the only way to beat the Chiefs. Second off, I really think it's where the Chiefs are vulnerable on defense, is if you can just pound them in the run game like that. Because if you can't get into a game where you allow them to, you know, unwrap their exotic pressure stuff, right? Like you see it at the end of every game where that defense has stepped up in many situations throughout this year. I literally went back and looked at it. It was like seven times where the Chiefs defense did something at the end of the game where they either stopped somebody from going down and kicking a field goal or scoring a touchdown to win, or they got the ball back to their offense so their offense could go down and win the game. So, like, this Chiefs defense has not gotten enough credit, but where they are, I think, vulnerable and susceptible is if you can just pound them in the run game and wear them down.
Drew Brees, a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP. He's here on behalf of Aldi, which we'll get to because, obviously, eating is so much a part of the Super Bowl for us fans.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. We talk a lot, obviously, about quarterbacks and your era, which was, I think, a golden era of quarterbacks. And you played for so long, Drew, you kind of spanned different eras. But Brady, Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, obviously, who you beat in a Super Bowl, versus now, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, you know, what Justin Herbert might be, you know, with that talent, maybe Trevor Lawrence. I mean, like, can you even compare one of your eras to what we're seeing right now in terms of quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, time will tell, right? Because there's a longevity component to, I think, our generation of guys that played, you know, all the guys that you mentioned from our generation played 15-plus years, right?
Yeah. I didn't mention Aaron Rodgers playing still.
But so many of these guys now, you know, are only in year 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know?
Yeah.
And yet what you're seeing is, you know, it's unprecedented, obviously, what Mahomes is doing. Like, man, I loved watching Josh Allen this year. Lamar Jackson the last 4 years has just been, you know, like, it's hard to even fathom Lamar Jackson because so many of us just don't even have close to that level of talent or ability, right? So you see what he does, and it's like, I don't even know how to compare myself to that, right? Like he's unbelievable. So, but it's a fun time to be an NFL fan, you know, with all this talent.
Drew Brees, the future Hall of Famer, the Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP on behalf of Aldi, and obviously, food and the Super Bowl goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right now, Aldi through February 9th, fans can get up to 25% off Super Bowl food essentials, including wings, pizza, spinach dip. Like, what's on your menu for Super Bowl Sunday, Drew?
I just made gumbo a couple days ago for the boys, and they loved it. So I'm still, like, I still got to master the roux, you know, which is kind of like that base component to a good gumbo. But otherwise, it's just like, man, what is in the fridge? They wanted chicken and andouille, so that's what we went with. But I'm a duck and andouille gumbo guy. That's probably my favorite.
Okay.
Chili, because my Texas roots,
sure.
Right? Like, so I'll go, like, deer meat chili or venison chili, but buffalo chili, like, you name it. So I'm a big chili guy. So all these things, yeah, this is that's where Aldi comes into play.
Real fast, I know you got to get out of here. You were involved in the coaching search with the Saints. You are involved. I know you'd said publicly you wanted Aaron Glenn. He goes to the Jets. Drew, what's going on with the coaching search right now?
No, look, like, I wasn't formally involved with the coaching search, you know, because obviously
you're a legendary player.
I always have a vested interest.
Yeah.
You know, I still consider it my team, you know, even though I don't play for the Saints anymore. But I have such strong relationships in that building, and I'm always there to lend support and certainly know that, you know, like my presence is felt, you know. So we'll see how it plays out. I've been asked about Kellen Moore a bunch today, you know. Obviously, he's had a ton of success wherever he's gone, and here he is maybe about to be a Super Bowl champ as the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. But, I think our team is in a good position from the perspective of, I still think we have this core. We've got a core group of leaders. We've got great culture and foundation. Man, we were decimated by injury this year,
yep.
You know, offensively especially. First two games, I think we all saw what the Saints are capable of, right, with everyone healthy. And defensively, they still play at a high level. So just shore up some of those, you know, areas that you feel like you need to build some depth, and let's see what happens.
Drew, thank you so much for your time, being generous with it on behalf of Aldi, and we appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, the Maggie and Perloff show on Super Bowl Radio Row is sponsored by Tide Pods. Turn to cold water washing with Tide Pods. When you switch from hot to cold, you could save up to $150 a year on your energy bill. Plus, Tide Clean's great in cold. Maggie's a big cold wash person, and she's kind of convinced me to do that as well. Drew Brees, by the way, looks totally in amazing shape. I feel like he could either be the quarterback for the Saints or coach the Saints.
Yep.
Mr. New Orleans, and that team, if you weren't NFL fan at the time, the impact of that Super Bowl is unprecedented because they were still coming off Katrina in many ways, and it really rallied the city. I get that vibe in New Orleans now. The city seems very unified after the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street. A lot of security here, but it's an incredible sort of galvanizing of the city, and everybody's in a good mood, despite everyone not wanting to see the Chiefs here, apparently. I don't really mind it as much as the public, but it is totally awesome. All right, coming up, we have a guest, might be the most surprising interview we've ever had, a coach that I don't know that if anyone really was a fan of. You will be after this interview. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. The theme of the week, of course, is Chiefs fatigue. A lot of people do not want to see them three-peat for simple reason. I guess they don't like greatness. I don't want to see them three-peat because I'm an Eagles fan. We've talked to actually a few former Patriots this week who know that feeling all too well, and one of them is former Patriots defensive assistant, former NFL head coach, one of the smartest coaches in NFL history, actually, and that's Matt Patricia. Matt, how does one build a dynasty? Give us a secret recipe.
Yeah, there's a lot up here. There's certainly, you know, I don't know if we have that much time.
Yeah.
But, well, we won't understand what you're saying anyway.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's fun to be down here and, you know, see the Super Bowl really from the other side. You know, when we're down here trying to prepare and get ready to play, you're kind of like behind the house. You know, you're running, preparing. It's great to see the fans and the excitement, the city, the energy, all that. It's pretty cool.
Not everybody understands how Nick Sirianni has done this well, but the winning percentage is undeniable. 70%, it's in the top 10 all-time in NFL history. How do you describe Nick Sirianni's coaching style?
Yeah, I love Nick Sirianni. I mean, he's one of the greatest guys. He's a great coach. He's a great leader. He connects with the players. Like, I mean, it's really fascinating to go and be able to have that year and sit there and learn from him and watch him build the relationships with the guys on the team and how he motivates them. And look, you learn and you know Nick right away. You know, he's an Italian guy, so right away we're connected and he and I are, you know, we understand each other. But it was phenomenal for me just to watch that style and his ability to lead, you know, that team and handle everything that you have to handle as a head coach. You know, there's no handbook on this. You know, there's nobody that's, you know, going to be able to say, hey, this is how you do this or this is how you do that. So you're trying to figure it out as you go along.
We're talking with Matt Patricia, 15 seasons with New England, head coach of the Detroit Lions, and you were with Philly last year, three-time Super Bowl champion as an assistant as well. You know, the three-peat, I mean, the Patriots, man, you guys tried.
We tried.
What is the hardest thing about it and what the Chiefs are about to do? Do you think you start looking over your shoulder like, man, this dynasty may be on par with ours?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot to evaluate and a lot to talk about, I think, with what's going on with both the Chiefs and Philadelphia. Certainly Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, the coaching staff, Spags, all those guys at Kansas City, Travis Kelce. I mean, they're the greatest of greats as far as what they do in their jobs, you know. So it's hard to go against them, you know. And honestly, you know, I learned this you know, I really learned it in the 2007 season, to be honest with you, our undefeated run where, you know, you got the people that are rooting for you and the people that are rooting against you. And that's great. I love the fans and I love the passion. But my take on all that is I want to see stuff that's never been done before. You know, I want to see history because I want my kids to see it. So if I sit there with my boys and we're watching a game and I watch Saquon Barkley do a reverse leapfrog over I'm like, you'll never see that again. That'll never happen again. You know, so if they get a three-peat, I think it's unbelievable. I think that's amazing history for everyone to see and watch and to be a part of. It's really tough, man. It's really hard to be able to sustain that. When I look at Philly, it's a lot of the same. You know, Philly went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. You know, last year didn't finish the way they wanted it to. And then, you know, they're back in the Super Bowl this year. We had a same run from 14 to 15 to 16, you know, at New England. 14 we win, 15 kind of the end of the year wasn't. You saw the team was just getting worn out.
Yep.
You know, it just didn't have that juice in the second half of the year. You know, we kind of skipped into the playoffs and didn't go the way we wanted to. And then the next year came back and went back and won. So they're long seasons. You know, the seasons are really long. You're doing a lot of travel. I mean, remember Philly started in, you know, they started overseas. They started in Brazil. So think of the travel that they've had in Kansas City, the every single week being in those one game, you know, nail biters situations. It's great. You know, you love all of it.
As far as like the boogeyman aspect that the Patriots and you being an assistant there for 15 years and winning three Super Bowls, like the boogeyman aspect where, and I heard you say this to Julian Edelman, you felt like you had teams beat before you walked into the stadium. I feel like the Chiefs have a little bit of that. Like, what does that feel like from the winner's side? When you did you know, like, the mental edge, you know, and how important that was?
Yeah, you nailed
Even
it.
Even in the biggest games?
You nailed it, yeah. And I think Kansas City has that. And I think that's why they've been able to kind of, you know, squeak out some of these wins. Kansas City's winning in a different way than, I would say, normal people look at the game and say, all right, well, turnover ratio, this, that, you know, this is how you win. Kansas City's winning a little bit differently. And we had that, too. You know, you just – there was so much mystique, you know, around our place. Not a lot came out of our building, you know, designed. It was very tight-lipped.
A couple Gronk cruises, but that's all.
You know, very, very, very tight-lipped. But we always felt that there would be at one point in the game, you knew the opponent had – there was always that little bit of doubt. Now, we knew we were going to get their best, for sure. You know, every single week, you know, we were going to be the standard that they were going to measure themselves against. So there was a little bit of – but there was a little bit of doubt. And once you recognized in the game, there it is, all right, they're questioning if they're going to win this, then you would see our guys go, and they would attack. And, you know, a lot of times it'd be a look, and our leaders were phenomenal. You know, Tommy, he'd walk by the defensive crew when I was coaching the linebackers, my old heads, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Junior Set, like those guys, Willie McGinnis, and he would have a look, and, you know, you'd see our guys, you know, they'd button up a little bit tighter, and you get that little focus, like, this is the moment we're about to take over the game and win. It was pretty cool to watch as a coach to see our players. You know, the game's about the players. To watch the players do that was pretty amazing.
Just a few more minutes here with Matt Patricia. Won 3 Super Bowls as an assistant coach with the New England Patriots. 15 seasons there. He's now got the coach show. Him, Bill Belichick, Michael Lombardi. Now the brain trust down at North Carolina in Chapel Hill. You know, I'm just kind of curious about this because it's going to be on everyone's mind. You get to talk to somebody who's a Belichick assistant. You did get a head coaching opportunity. Probably didn't go the way you wanted it to. But the idea about the Belichick assistants never being able to win Super Bowls as head coach, you know, like Andy Reid assistants like Doug Peterson have gone on to win. Like, is there something? Was Bill keeping stuff from you guys? Was he siloing you off? I mean, what is there an explanation for that?
Yeah, I think if there was an explanation, I think all of us that have those opportunities would probably try to get it right.
You know,
I think,
right.
Yeah, you know, I think all of us are just trying to win. All the situations are different. You know, you take opportunities you think you're going to have, you know, that's your shot to go try to get it right. They're very difficult opportunities. That's why there's an opening in those buildings. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us joined that long list of, you know, distinguished coaches that have been fired in the NFL. You know, Romeo Purnell said it to me the best. He's like, welcome to the club. You know, you're in the fraternity now. And look, there's no handbook to being a head coach. There's no one that's going to, you know, tell you what to do with it. And the best way to learn to be a head coach is to be a head coach. And then when you have that growth mindset, you really go back and you take a look at, hey, what did I do well? And where did I mess up? You know, and really do that self-evaluation. The growth is unbelievable. And I think that's where, you know, look, Pete Carroll was a 2-time head coach before, you know, he got to where he was. And Coach Belichick was the same. There's a lot of coaches that have had those opportunities. Andy Reid was at Philadelphia, you know, never won, and now is at Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes, and he's winning. So there's a lot that goes into it. I think what you can control when you're in that situation is, what did I learn, and how can I, you know, get better, and how can I grow? And, you know, that's what you do. You take those experiences, and you just try to become the better version of yourself.
Matt, last one from me. Because you won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots, and you were part of this dynasty and a big part of it, what is the game you're most proud of as a defensive coach?
That's a great
question. Or just overall?
That's a great question. I appreciate that question a lot. You know, I always say, obviously, the Super Bowls are – they're unbelievable, right? And they're like your kids. Like, you love all of them the same, so you never pick. You know, they're exciting. They're fun. I think you go through different phases with them. I think, you know, your first Super Bowl – you're just so kind of like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. And you feel a lot of joy and happiness for yourself and the team, you know, to watch the players achieve what they've achieved. You just, you're really focused on the team. If you're lucky and blessed enough to go to another one and win, my second one, I remember, really, it was all about my family. You know, the sacrifices that, like, your mom and dad make for you to, like, drop you off at practice and, like, buy you new cleats. And just all the things that, you know, they have to do and go through, or, you know, you're not home with your wife and your kids for holidays. Like, you know, I joke all the time, I have 2 holidays when I'm a football coach. It's 4th of July, because I know I'm going to have that one off, and daylight savings, because that extra hour is like gold. You know, like, I need that. The rest of the holidays, hey, I'm probably not going to be there. So you really just want to celebrate with your family and your kids and, you know, your wife, who sacrifices everything. My wife is amazing. She, you know, is my rock and the only reason I can do all this. So being able to share that and see the joy that they feel, that happens. And then if you're lucky enough to go to another and have another win, It's really about the guys that have never been there before and have never experienced it. And you want that for them so bad, the players and the coaches. And, you know, I really remember the faces of, you know, we won, you know, the third one. And it, you're seeing, like, a new coach or a new player win it for the first time. And you're just so happy, the joy, the tears, like, everything that goes into that. So the Super Bowls are pretty, you know, it's got to be obviously the top of the list.
Well, Matt, you know, continued success with the coach show with Belichick and Lombardi. I mean, Bill's become like this media personality. Could have never seen that coming.
That's great.
Yeah. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
All right, if you were watching on YouTube or Twitch, we promise that was Matt Patricia. He looks way different right now than when he did with the Lions coach. We had sort of an unruly beard, and also, EJ, what did you say about him?
He is one of the nicest people I feel like we've had in studio or here at Radio Row. I mean, I know for a fact I've ripped Matt Patricia's soul off the show. Now I feel bad. I really feel like, wow, that was uncalled for. He's the nicest man.
EJ's a bad guy.
Yeah, I think it's the whole Belichick thing. We assume, we don't know Josh McDaniels, and we assume like he's a tough guy just because Bill Belichick is. And everyone, Bill Belichick is different off the big stage when he's out in a press conference. Who knows? But Matt Patricia, first of all, and that guy is really, really smart on football. That is very clear. All right. Let's go to someone who's not as smart on football.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wow.
I was like, is he going to say it? Is he going to make this transition? And I was like, yep, he did it.
What a segue. But,
well, at least we know it is Andrew Bogus because it's not Quinn Ewers, who is Andrew Bogus's lookalike.
Hey.
By the way, that's not an insult. Like,
no,
that's
that
cool.
One I'll take.
Yeah, you look exactly like Quinn Ewers. Maggie didn't see it as much as I do. I can't unsee it. You are a doppelganger.
Speaking of Maggie, did she see you in running shorts like Jalen Carter? Is that why she's on here today?
Oh.
It's the Perloff flu. We thought it was something else.
The Pearl flu.
I got it, to be honest. If Spencer Rattler comes down with something tomorrow, same thing.
Oh, no.
I basically went to see some friends at a hospitality suite from Panini, the card company, and I was wearing shorts because I was going to run home from the event. That's how informal I am. I swear to God.
Wow.
I'm wearing my running outfit, and I stopped in because I thought it was no more celebrities were going to be there, and I walk in, and I'm like, oh, okay. He's got red hair. Oh, yeah, that's Spencer Rattler. He looks at me like, those are the palest, weakest legs.
And he fainted.
And so he will probably not be making his media appearances today.
Yeah, newsflash. Spencer Rattler out for the season next year.
Yeah, he's on the Saints non-football injury list right now.
I got to be honest. I was so happy that it's warm here, but not too warm, like mid-80s, so I wouldn't be forced to wear shorts in front of everybody here.
Shorts are coming out as soon as we're done here. For me.
Yeah, EJ's wearing shorts, but it's like 73, so I don't have to wear shorts, and I can stop making people sick. All right, why don't you cheer us up with some headlines, Bogus?
The headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Young Manny probably doesn't know who Sterling Sharp is, but he was one of the best receivers of the early 90s, and now he's a Hall of Famer, joining his brother Shannon in Canton.
I didn't know how to feel. It's not like Christmas. You know, Christmas, you have an expectation of, I'm going to get a bike, or I'm going to get a skateboard, or I'm going to get something. There was no expectation, so the feeling that I got, I really can't explain, because I never thought I'd be here.
The unrelated Jaren and Eric Allen plus Antonio Gates will be enshrined this summer. It's the smallest.
Wait. Yeah. Go ahead, Bogus.
It's the smallest Hall of Fame class since 05, unveiled at NFL Honors last night. That's where Josh Allen was a surprise winner of MVP. Minnesota's Kevin O'Connell is the coach of the year. Joe Burrow won comeback player of the year. And Jaden Daniels, unsurprisingly, the offensive rookie of the year.
The Commanders.
So Sterling Sharp compared getting to the Hall of Fame to getting a skateboard at Christmas. I don't think that analogy worked at all.
Yeah!
He said it wasn't Christmas because you kind of know what's on your list, obviously. So you kind of have an idea of what Santa might drop off. But, you know, he was also a senior committee nominee, so he didn't survive the regular process. So I guess he's saying, like, you know, like, I wasn't planning on being here. I didn't think I was going to get here. So I didn't have any expectations for what my feelings were going to be.
Backstory, he, I believe, did not talk to the press for a large majority of his playing career, which is funny because he immediately went. He was an early media superstar who would not stop talking, and it's really, really entertaining. Now you see his brother is the media star, Shannon Sharp, but yes! I think it was a little bit of T.O. that kept him out. I think he rubbed some.
Oh, gotcha.
He wasn't mean. I think he was reclusive as a player, and you know the Hall of Fame is a popularity contest. Like if you're nice to reporters, that's a big deal. I'm sorry to say that.
I know, and that's a shame because this guy was a baller. I mean, I look at his numbers. I mean, these are receiving numbers in like the early 90s, late 80s. 1,400 yards, 1,400 yards, 1,200 yards, multiple times, 100 catches, 3 All Pros in just 7 seasons. I mean, he was a dog. Like, it's a shame that he didn't get it, but you're right. It could have been because of other stuff.
He might have been just as good or better than his brother.
My dad always says he was. But that is like very steadfast on that.
His brother was a tight end. That did differentiate him.
Yeah, I think the playing only 7 seasons hurt him too, I think, in the normal process.
Wait, there's a Sterling Sharp?
Oh, my God.
Good to see you, Manny. Read a book.
No. I don't know how to.
Is there a book about Sterling Sharp out there?
There's an NFL book somewhere about Sterling days in, I'm sure. A Packers history book. Watch NFL films. How about that? Perlow's probably in it, telling you how great he was.
Yeah. No, they only bring me in when the Eagles are involved.
Oh, okay.
It's like, so tell me about Randall Cunningham's impact. Randall Cunningham arrived in Philadelphia in 1987. Yeah, I've done those NFL things. Bogues, by the way, I'm a little mad at you about one thing from
this great.
Week.
Yeah.
Again?
How come you didn't give us more trades yesterday at the NBA trade deadline?
Give you more trades? Like make them or report them?
Report. I don't know. Like, I was totally disappointed. You got the bar so high with Luka, and then you gave me nothing yesterday. I was expecting to come in this morning with, like, some big names.
Well, nothing happened yesterday. That's not my fault. I'm not running a team yet.
Yeah, what do you think, NBA 2K? Like, he's doing my league or my GM?
I don't know. I mean, you're the headline guy. When things don't happen, it's your fault.
You really think if he was the headlines guy that he'd be putting your Eagles in the Super Bowl and the Phillies winning 100 games? Him? Of all people, you know him.
Yeah. Also, if I had power, you'd be sick, not Maggie.
Oh, no. I set myself up for that. All right. Anything else?
No, I'm done.
All right. Let's lighten the mood. We're going to bring in a Hall of Famer who actually is close personal friends with Carol Perloff, my mother. That is a long story, but is one of the most, unlike Bogus, beloved persons in the media world. People is another way to say it.
Yeah.
Whatever, Bogues. I can see you judging me on our Zoom feed. Let's lighten the mood next with Jerome Bettis, Hall of Famer, next right here, M&P. All right, it's football season, and Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food. No matter what you're craving, Uber Eats, official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL, order now. Oh, man, I'll be at the game and won't be able to eat the way I want to eat Super Bowl. EJ, what are you going to eat Super Bowl? What?
Oh, so we were thinking empanadas.
Oh, I love empanadas.
Yeah, there's a great empanadas place not too far from me in Queens, so we're going to order a bunch.
Unfortunately, Maggie, our girl, is a little sick today, was not able to make it in. EJ is sliding over, but that's okay. We're here at Radio Row, and there's so much going on. There's so much excitement. It's factual.
Live feed from Maggie. Yeah. Maggie's hotel room.
Yeah, she'll tell the story when she gets back on Monday about tough place to get sick, but she'll be back soon, and she's got her Josh Allen MVP under her belt, so I'm sure that made her happy. If the Eagles won, that might make her miserable because I will be cocky for the next week, but there's nothing you can do about that. All right, one of the nicest people in the football world, for sure, one of the most well-liked, a Super Bowl champion, a Hall of Famer, one of the great all-time running backs, Jerome Bettis joins us. Jerome, thank you for coming on.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
You're not going to remember this, but you know Jerome is a good guy. There was a Super Bowl where he was in the green room at the Dan Patrick Show, and so were my parents, and Jerome and Carol Perloff talked for half an hour.
Yes!
And my parents like, wow, he is the nicest NFL player I've ever met.
I'm telling you, this is the Jerome Bettis aura, the glow that kind of follows you. You know, let's first talk about the Steelers, because we had a little bit of breaking news, maybe. Adam Schefter said the team hopes that Russell Wilson is going to be back next year as quarterback for the Steelers. And listen, that was a question, whether it was going to be Russ or Fields.
Yeah, yeah.
Jerome, what do you think of that decision, if that's indeed the case?
I like that decision. I think that is a smart decision.
I think you go with the veteran guy, but I think you have to have a plan as well. You have to have the plan. Where is the next quarterback? Because right now, you know, Russell, he can give you multiple years, but you can't think that he's the 10-year plan.
Right.
So they have to find what is the 10-year plan. I think if you don't, if you bring Russell back and you don't have an heir apparent ready, then I think you've done yourself a disservice, because I think he's the guy who can teach that young quarterback how do you play the position at a high level, how do you prepare, how do you practice, right? How do you handle yourself? I think those are all things that as a quarterback you want to learn from a Russell Wilson. And if he's not in the building, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice.
But if you look at this year's draft class, where the Steelers always pick high, you know, they're not in the top five, so there's not a franchise quarterback.
They're a victim of their own success.
So there's a guy we interviewed earlier this week, Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, who could be end of first round, second round guy, but he's a project. I mean, if you're Steelers, is that what you're talking about? A guy who needs maybe a lot of work?
I think if that's what you're looking for, I think Justin Fields is right there.
Right.
I think if you like a Milroe, Justin Fields is right there. I think he's going to be a better option for you, because I think he's been in that situation. He's working in that same mold, and I think he's a better passer than Milroe is at this current moment. So if that's what you're looking for, I think that's out there already. I think you have to look at what you want your team to look like. Do you want a mobile quarterback? Do you have the system for him, right? Do you have the right offensive coordinator for him? And I think those are the questions you got to ask yourself, because the decision that you make now is going to be a 10-year decision, and you need to have the infrastructure in place to make sure that happens.
The Hall of Famer Jerome Bettis is joining us on behalf of PXG, and we'll talk all about your golf game in just a moment, Jerome. I'm sure it's
or
great.
Or lack of.
Okay. You know, if we wanted to, we could do a radio show where we just say Mike Tomlin and open the phones.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm curious, maybe for people who have gotten some fans respect the fact that he never has a losing record and that he always has the Steelers, no matter who's on the team, it feels like you're going to be hovering around 500 and you could be playoff bound. But, you know, the playoff drought in terms of winning a game is starting to stack up. What would you like to tell fans who have gotten frustrated with Mike Tomlin?
Well, you get frustrated with the coach, but ultimately all he can do is a coaching performance, right? Mm-hmm. He can't do a quarterbacking performance. He can't do a running back, a receiving performance. So I think what fans have to understand is he's going to do the best job he can do with what he has, right? And then you have to go and peel the onion back and say, well, what does he have? Mm. Maybe that's the question, right? And so he's not given what he's needed, right? They went out. They were trying to get IU because they knew they had a deficiency at the wide receiver position, right?
Right.
Did they feel that? No. So, consequently, you went into the season and you didn't have the requisite wide receivers, right, at the position. So now you're playing with a disadvantage. You've got one really good receiver who got banged up there late in the season, and now you go on this slide because you don't have the bodies, the talent, if you will, at those key positions, right, that can get you over the hump when somebody gets hurt. Now all of a sudden you become less than an average football team. So now you got to start looking at the personnel, and you say to yourself, do we have enough? Are we a championship caliber team from a personnel perspective? And the answer is no.
But a lot of people say the offenses are too conservative under Matt Canada, under Arthur Smith. Would you like to see them open it up a little more?
I would, but you have to, again, have the personnel.
It's not the coaching.
So, you've got to have the personnel. So think about this.
Arthur Smith,
we can open it up, but if I got no receivers to throw it to, I got no quarterback to throw it, what am I opening up? Right? I think what you have to do is you can't say I want to open it up. You've got to have the personnel that dictates you opening it up. Okay? So if you have the quarterback, you can throw the ball 40 times, then you say, hey, let's throw the ball 40 times. If you have, for instance, the Eagles, if they say, hey, let's open it up, why? We got the personnel to run the football. What are we opening up for, right? That's dumb on our part. So you have to have the personnel to open it up, right? Mm-hmm. Conversely, Kansas City, if they said, hey, let's play ground and pound, you're going to say, what? What? With Patrick Mahomes, you're going to play ground and pound? Are you kidding me? You're going to take the ball out of his hands? So it's about the personnel that you have. And I think that determines what type of offense you have.
Jerome, you're here on behalf of PXG. So you said the golf game. I mean, how long are you off the tee? Are you more of a short game guy? I mean,
I am a short game guy. Okay. That's the strength of my game.
Well, that's where the money gets made,
Jerome. That's the strength of my game. But I am decent off of the tee. I'm fairly accurate, but I'm just not the longest. I had a fusion some years ago in my back, so I'm not a long ball hitter, but I can move it out there when I need to.
How's the bowling game? Is that
so? The bowling game has suffered because of the knees. I don't bowl as much as I used to now. The golf game is kind of taken over.
In
place of the bowling.
Yeah.
All you got to do is go to pxg.com, and that's where you can find all the information on all of this golf equipment. If it's helping Jerome Bettis, it can help you.
That's right.
The Hall of Famer, Jerome Bettis, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
That's really interesting. Jerome Bettis is basically saying Mike Tomlin doesn't have the personnel to take the next step as Steelers GM. I did sort of push back a little bit. They do hire these conservative offensive coordinators, Arthur Smith, former Falcons head coach. I don't know if Mike Tomlin wants to open it up and play offense, but Jerome is making a pretty good argument that they don't have the guys. I feel like Omar Khan has a pretty good draft history. They're not all hits. Kenny Pickett, they missed at 21 in the first round. And I don't know about Broderick Jones.
Right.
He's been hot and cold.
Yep.
Of course, the left tackle that the Jets wanted to draft. But he's also made some amazing defensive picks. Joey Porter Jr., we had Joey Porter Sr. on, was an all-time pick. And T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. I'm not sure that it's not Tomlin. And I just think that Tomlin has to change a little bit his coaching style to be more aggressive.
But at the same time, when you look at their team, I mean, if you're ranking their skill position, their explosive players, like, where do they rank them in the NFL? I mean, like, what, 25? Yeah. I mean, like, I'm being generous. Like they don't have a lot of pieces. So I think Jerome makes some good points. Like, if you want them to play an open-up style, you need a quarterback that can deliver the ball to these guys. You need guys that can catch. You need running backs that can make plays. Like, the Steelers' offense is just mid. It's just a mid collection of talent.
And also, there's a report, as we mentioned, that Russell Wilson is likely going to come back. Mm-hmm. That's a problem, too.
Right,
And I like Russell Wilson a lot.
I do, too.
But is he the guy to lift this level of talent around him? You look at Pickens, Van Jefferson, and Calvin Austin were their top three wide receivers this year. Then they got Mike Williams. But fully healthy.
You know who they should be in on the market on? They should be in on T. Higgins.
Right? Yeah, I mean, well.
I mean, he's going to be a free agent, so there's no reason you can't. You know, sign
I know,
him.
I know.
And we see guys go from division to division. They just signed Patrick Queen last year. Like, they need another supernova on that skill position side.
Well, they
got to give Russell as much support as possible.
They couldn't get Ayuk last year, of course.
Exactly.
Tried really hard. T. Higgins, there are a lot of teams that want T. Higgins. The Steelers used to have an abundance of wide receivers. They had Santonio Holmes and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. I was telling you this the other day. They would draft guys with red flags at wide receiver, and they get them lower in the draft. I think Antonio Brown was fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Martavis Bryant went. I know Pickens. The only reason Pickens was not a first-round pick, George Pickens, is because there were some red flags.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen some attitude issues there.
Yep.
So you're right. It is not a great roster. And Jerome Bettis has made it very, very clear. Yep. I love when former players rip their team. And I have a feeling we're going to get a little bit more of that with our next interview. I'm so excited for this. This guy is unbelievably cool. And I'll give you a hint. We'll find out what's a catch and what's not a catch. Fair, EJ, right?
That's
the big topic with this dude, who is also happens to be a former Cowboy. That's next. Maggie and Perloff Show.